If you would, please turn again to the first epistle of John, chapter 2. I just want to read verse 3, 4, and 5. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That's exactly right, Mason. Amen. Today I want to consider the last five words. That's where I'm going to start. The last five words of verse 3, and hopefully go on just a little bit. If we keep his commandments. Now, I will confess to when I first read these verses some 30 years ago, and I've read them since then. I was scared of these verses because of the Arminian nature of some places I had been. Because I've heard people talk about this verse, and I'm sure somebody somewhere is probably doing it today. They're saying if we keep his commandments is a prerequisite for knowing him. And it ain't so. That's bad English, but it's a good truth. It's not that way. It's not a prerequisite. John did not write and is not saying we know him because we keep his commandments. But that's the way it's preached. And that's a lie. You can call it, what is it? No, it's not that. I done forgot. Eisegesis, exegesis. Eisegesis, where you take something out or you put something in a scripture that's not there. That's what they're doing. Like I said, here, we call it a lie because that's what it is. That's not what John is saying. Now, also, as a preface, I don't want to be misunderstood. I am not advocating lawlessness in this message. But I do have to say this. I don't keep the law, and neither do you. That's not what John's referring to here. I know a lot of people want to make it that. Whenever they see the word commandments in the scriptures, they think Ten Commandments. That's not what John's talking about. We'll get into that. But I want to say that up front. I don't keep the law, and neither does anyone else walking on this planet. Make no mistake about it. What? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And those Ten Commandments not only talk about what you're supposed to do, they talk about what you're not supposed to do, but they also talk about what you're not supposed to think. And there's no man been born except one who could control his thoughts. Not happening. You may be able to hide every sin you commit from all of your neighbors, all of your friends, maybe even your family. I don't want to go into it, but I mean, I've watched the television and you hear the news. This man had two families, one in Oregon and one in Utah, or one here and one there. And for 25 years, kept it hid from both. You can do that, but you can't hide anything from God. And whether anybody else knows it or not, it's still sin. He sees all. He is the light. God casts a perfect illumination upon you, and that ought to scare you to death. Except for verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate's name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, let's get started here. Because it does say, if we keep his commandments. That's the phrase. So, what are we supposed to say about that? I've already said it. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. You say we can't keep the law. Yes, I say that. Because it's true. It's absolutely true. I can't keep the Ten Commandments. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. I can't keep the law, and you can't keep the law. So what's John writing here? What's he talking about? Well, first of all, the negative. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the law. Jesus Christ kept the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ fulfilled completely every jot and every tittle, every little tiniest bit of the Word of God, the law of God. He fulfilled all of the scriptures up until this time that were spoken of the Christ who was to come, the Messiah of the Old Testament. And Paul wrote that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To everyone that believeth, you got to put that part in. A lot of people want to say, oh, he's the end of the law. He is. To everyone that believeth. He's not the law hasn't gone anywhere. The law is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good, and I still can't do them. Even with the Spirit of Christ within me as a believer. That's Romans 7. And if you want to say Romans 7 is before Paul got saved, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. Because if we say we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. And that's one thing, thank God, I am not deceived about. And if we say we have no sins, we're calling God a liar. But we have an advocate with the Father. John knew all this. So what commandments was John referring to? Well, in order to talk about this, I'm going to have to jump ahead a chapter. John, 1 John 3 and verse 23. These are the commandments to which John was referring. Verse 23, John 3, 1 John 3, and this is his commandment. This is it. You understand? You read back the Gospel of John, you'll read, this is eternal life. This is the work of God, that we should believe on him. This is his commandment. And who's this his? It's Jesus Christ. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And love one another as he gave us commandment. You mean Jesus Christ gave us a commandment? Yes, he did. He did indeed. You understand what John wrote here? He says, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Key word in that is his commandments. We're not talking about the commandments or traditions of men. We're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about his commandments. And who's that is? Well, if you back up to where it says, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation. It's the same person. So you have to back up to verse 1 to get the name. Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's his commandments. His commandments. And he spoke this commandment to his disciples himself, to John personally. How does this book start out? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. John's not making up stuff. John's just telling us what Jesus Christ said. If we keep his commandments. And those are his commandments. Believe on my name. believe on the name of the Son of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's them. That's them. These are Christ's commandments to his brethren. These are not commandments to the world. They don't fit the category. They don't fit the description. But this is the way we know that we know him. It's not the way we know him. It's kind of a tough thing to explain. This is how we know that we do know him. Because we keep his commandments. Believe on Jesus Christ and love one another. So I told you John got this from Christ speaking. So let's look back at John chapter 15 for just a moment. Let me get to the right spot here. John 15, and let's begin in verse 16. Well, no, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. 15, verse 16. Because I love this part. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Ye, this is Christ speaking, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you. What is it? That ye love one another. He didn't stop there, though. Because what's it mean to love Christ? Well, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, isn't that a dichotomy? If you know Christ and you love one another, the world hates you. Now, I'm talking about the real Christ here. I'm not talking about the fake Jesus. I'm not talking about a false Jesus. Oh, lo, this one. Here's Christ. There's Christ. No. We're talking about this Christ right here. In John chapter 15. The whole Gospel of John. My goodness. These things I command you. And I command you after choosing you. After ordaining you. Isn't that something? Then he tells you, love one another. How important is this? It's vital. It doesn't seem like it is. And to most people's natural minds, how important it is that I love my brother? Jesus Christ said, I command you. I command you. Now, do you want to do what he says? Do you care about what he says? Most church people don't. Most church people and the rest of the world won't. Because they don't know what he said. Because you'll quote scripture to them and they'll look at you like you just quoted something from a science magazine or something. Or something you made up. No, that's scripture. I command you, love one another. And then he says the world hates you. Marvel not. Marvel not. The world hated him before it hated you. Now, how and why do we love him? I think that's an important question. Yeah. Well, just back up a chapter to John chapter 14. I did it this way in purpose because I wanted to see where he commanded us to love one another. But you look at John chapter 14, he'll tell you how and why. John chapter 14 and verse 15, it says this: if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, he doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, then you can love me. No, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. In you. In you. I love that. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Those who know they are sinners, those who know they do sin, it's from 1 John chapter 1, they are those whom the Spirit of truth has come into. How can we love God? The natural mind is enmity, hatred against God. It doesn't just actually say that he hates God. He does. But the mind is hatred toward God. We are cursed beings, naturally speaking. How can we love God? How can we love one another? The Spirit of truth in you. The Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what you want to call him. If he's not in you, you're not loving Christ. Because you don't know Christ. And if he's in you, you love Christ. He'll show you. There's the spirit of bondage unto fear, but then there's the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I like what Earl used to say about that. Abba, it's a personal term, like Papa, Daddy. Abba, Father. What did Christ tell us to pray? Believers. Now, he's talking to us. When you pray, start this way. Our Father. We are told to call him Father by the Lord of glory himself, his beloved Son. That's how and that's why. The Spirit of God, because of the Spirit of Christ in us, we have the mind, the understanding of Christ. I think that's just amazing. That's glorious. That we have this in earthen vessels. In earthen vessels. You can read Romans 7. I find then a battle between the law, between my flesh and the Spirit. It's there. And if you don't have that battle, if you don't know the struggle, the difference, that which is flesh is still flesh. And that which is spirit is spirit. And if you don't have both those, the only one you can know is the flesh. That's all you can know. But believers know both flesh and spirit. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. John is so sweet. You know he's the apostle of love, don't you? That's what people say. They say John's the apostle of love. And they usually say it that way. Because he does talk about loving the brethren and loving Christ. And all of that is true. But he also says, if you say you know him and you don't love the brethren and you don't know Christ, the Christ of God, the Christ of this Bible, you're a liar. Just lays it flat out. What do you say in the first chapter? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That means you're lying to yourself. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we're calling him a liar. That's what we are naturally. We are liars who call God a liar. And if we say we know him and we don't keep his commandments, we don't love him as he is, we don't know him as he is, the Lord of glory, we don't love his brethren, our brethren, you're a liar. And here's the condemnation, and the truth is not in him. How serious is this love thing? Dead serious. It's dead serious. Lots of people say lots of things. But here, if you say this, if you say you know him, but you don't love the brethren, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. What's that mean? Well, the deeper meaning of that is that the truth isn't in you. That's what it means. And who's the truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. If the truth isn't in you, Jesus Christ isn't in you. Because there's no way under God's green earth, on God's green earth and under God's blue heaven, that there's no way, okay? I mean, I'm serious. There's no way that you can have Christ in you and not have the truth in you.
Right.
He won't have it. Right. It don't matter how smart you are. It don't matter how dumb you are. That's got nothing to do with anything. I'm living proof of that. If Christ is in you, the hope of glory, he's going to see to it you know his truth. And he can do that when you're sitting under a lie. If somebody's lying to you from the pulpit, his scripture will witness to you his truth. Even when you're sitting there realizing that man's lying about that truth he just read. I've been there and done that. And by God's grace, I won't do it anymore. But the truth not being in you is a condemnation. Forget about being a liar. The truth's not in you. How can you do anything but lie? That's how serious loving the brethren and loving Christ and loving his gospel is. The truth's not in these people. Because there are those who do not believe him. And I'm talking about the Jesus Christ of the scriptures. We mentioned it last week. They believe their own Jesus. Ellen spoke to me after service about somebody preached on this not that long ago. You understand, the Jehovah Witnesses talk about Jesus, but they don't talk about this Jesus. I mean, that's blatant. The Mormons talk about Jesus, but they don't talk about this Jesus. Ooh, now here we go. Let's get personal. Baptists talk about this Jesus. Don't talk about this Jesus. They talk about their own. And Pentecostals, I mean, let Jesus have his way. Oh, go ahead and get in his way. See what happens to you. I dare you. I dare you, if you got that kind of attitude, step in front of him. and step in his way when he's on the way to pick up a lost sheep, you will get run over. Because he will step right through you to get to one of his sheep that he's seeking right then. They love their Jesus. But you got to know this one. You got to know this one. They don't love those who preach his sovereign grace. They don't love those who believe his sovereign grace. They don't love the sovereign Jesus Christ, who's both Christ and Lord. Matter of fact, it's not the fact that they just don't love him. They hate him. They hate him. You understand? There is no neutrality. People will act like they're standing on a fence or straddling the fence, and I'm not going to talk about anybody getting castrated from sitting on a fence. But here's the thing. There's nobody there.
That's right.
Because you're either on one side of the fence or you on the other.
Right.
That's what this book teaches. That's what this book says. He that's not for me is against me. Who said that? Jesus Christ said that. And you know what he meant when he said that, right? He that's not for me is against me. Sometimes it gets deep around here. People are crazy. I don't hate Jesus. No, you don't hate yours. But you hate this one. I've seen it. I've seen it in their eyes looking right at me. You know? They hated Christ, but they weren't real fond of me at the time either. Walter's been there. And I know others have too. This is what the world does. This is what the world is all about. They talk about this being the me generation. I'm going to tell you something. They talk about that every generation. When I grew up in the 60s, it was the me generation. The 70s, it was me. The 80s, it's me. The 90s, it's me. The 2000s and the millennials or whatever they want to call it. Oh, it's all about me. It's always been all about me. Unless he meets you, it's always going to be about me. Mm-hmm. But once he meets you, all of a sudden it becomes all about him.
Amen.
You understand? God never meets a man. Jesus Christ never truly meets a man without changing that man.
Right. That's right.
For the better. Figure I better turn that in, you know, for the better. If you think you've met Christ and all of a sudden you're the worst person you ever were, something's wrong with you. You didn't meet the Christ of the Bible. You might have had a dream about Jesus in a knot hole or something. I don't know. But Christ never came to a sinner that he didn't save. He did. And guess what? They love him and they love his brethren. Jesus Christ is the truth. And if you don't believe him and love the brethren, you don't know Christ. It's that simple and it's that deep. It's that profound and it's that serious. Dead serious. But John doesn't leave there. He goes, he's got to go on. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He's explaining it. If you love Christ and you love the brethren, you know you're in him. That's what he's talking about. He explains it himself. You know, I didn't have to preach all this. I just could have read this. No, God said preach it. Because this is the way you... The Word of God says what the Word of God means. It's man's word you have to have questions about.
Right.
There's no problem with the Scriptures that a man can't mess up. Even worse. Because the problem's not with the scripture, the problem's with man. It always has been. There are those who keep his word. John says it. Back to his commandments, which he spoke to us. Believe him and love the brethren. There are those who do that. That's keeping his word. That's the reference. That's what John's talking. He's just right in dead line with each other. Sequence of events. John 14. Let me look back at that. In verse 21. See, we just read it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's verse 20. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Gotta love that. You gotta love that if you know him. Because John goes on to say, we love God because. I mean, John just lays stuff flat out. You don't have to think real hard about it. You don't have to interpret it. What you got to do is try not argue yourself out of it. John says, we love him because he first loved us. He that loveth me and keepeth my commandments, why? Because Christ first loved him. He's the fountain. He's the source of our obedience. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And that word is completed. It's not that we're perfect in and of ourselves. We're not even complete in and of ourselves. Not even close. You understand? Christ said, I will love him. And you know something? If he loves you, he loves you to the end. Amen. And guess what? He's eternal. What's that mean? There's no end to the love of Christ in a man, in his brethren, in his child, in his chosen people. And without love, there's no Christ in you. Who keeps his word? That's a good question. Those that are kept. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Ain't that a thing of beauty? How are we kept? We're kept loving him. We're kept loving the brethren. Oh, there's some days you might get vexed with the brethren. Not with me, of course, but with maybe Walter. Some of us are more vexing than others, and I'll plead guilty to that. But you shouldn't be vexed with me. But that doesn't mean you stop loving the brethren. You understand? You might need to stay away from one or two in particular in order to love them a little better. Just say, I'm more lovable from a distance, okay? I understand that. I don't have a problem with that. But we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Those who keep his word are those who are kept. But look at here at verse 2 of 1 Peter. Where did this all start? Elect. Elect. Chosen. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification, which is his work, not ours. We don't help. Sanctification of the Spirit. And here it is. Unto obedience. Yeah. Obedience. Obedience. What do we do to be obedient? You love him and you love his brethren.
Yeah.
You love him and you love one another. And the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Ain't that a thing of beauty? That is just, we're not perfect in ourselves. We're not complete in ourselves. We are complete in him. And we keep his word because we're kept. We quote that verse a lot, you know. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But don't stop there.
Right.
Don't stop there. A lot of people won't say, you got to work it out, brother. No, that's... For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
Now that's a thing of beauty too.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? That's a thing of grace.
Amen.
That's a work of grace. You know? It doesn't say that he works in you the will to. No, he works in you to will.
Right.
And to do.
Right.
And what are we to do? Love him and love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Keep his commandments. How can we keep his commandments? He puts it in us.
Yeah.
Both to will and to do. Of his good pleasure. God is pleased when you love his son and we love one another. God is glorified by fallen, sinful men knowing and loving the blessed son. It is. It is amazing. Hereby, because of this, because of him, we know that we know him. We're the family of God. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And this is eternal life, that you know the Father and you know the Son and you love him. Believers know their father. Believers know their elder brother, the son, the well-beloved son, the well-beloved only begotten son of God. And believers love him. Believers love one another because he first loved us. He's the source. He's the fountain. We are the recipients of the flow from the fountain of Christ. I think that's just glorious. And we have this in earthen vessels as we walk on this earth, awaiting his return, because he is coming again. And we're going to be with him. We're going to be like him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this, our time that you've given us to try to preach your word and to try to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.